Good afternoon, it's Mountain Edition. I'm Elise Thatcher.
And I'm Marcy Krivenin. Will Carbondale get a new city market? The development proposal is laid out at a packed public meeting.
Changes are in the works for an often crowded Mid-Valley intersection.
You're usually backed up halfway to Catherine's store. I mean, 8 o'clock in the morning, it's impossible to turn left.
The Aspen Skiing Company is hoping to attract visitors from countries where more people are spending money on winter sports, like China.
I think the community has done a good job over time welcoming these other cultures, and a new culture is going to have new needs.
The number of hospital beds for the mentally ill is dismal, especially on the western slope.
A Denver-based musician known for his contemplative folk songs visits Aspen.
And we hear about an entrepreneur in Carbondale who has opened a restaurant in a horse trailer.
That's all coming up on Mountain Edition.
The Aspen Music Festival and School announced sad news on Tuesday. Two of the school's musicians died in a car crash just days after their last performance in Aspen.
Wyoming Highway Patrol released more information Wednesday about the crash. Allison Bektash has the story.
23-year-old Alex Green was driving a 2011 Ford Escape. Ben Darnell, his bandmate in the Rendezvous Brass Quartet, was in the passenger seat. He was 21. Both men were killed when Green's Escape crossed the center line on Highway 191, just north of Farson, Wyoming, and struck a Volvo tractor pulling two trailers. The tractor driver, 55-year-old Brent Hawks, told authorities that he tried to avoid the head-on collision. All three victims were wearing seatbelts. A press release from the Wyoming Highway Patrol lists speed as a factor in the fatal incident. Drug use and driver inattention are also being investigated. A memorial post for the young musicians on the Aspen Music Festival and School's Facebook page includes an outpouring of sympathy. Almost 300 posts from locals as well as residents of Green and Darnell's hometowns of Philadelphia and Rochester, Illinois, have appeared on the feed. Allison Bektash, Aspen Public Radio News.
After some political posturing within Aspen City Hall on Tuesday, the fate of a 37-room hotel will be in the hands of voters. If passed, it would be at the corner of Main and Monarch Streets. Again, Allison Bektash.
After 2 days of public hearings, Aspen City Council approved a pair of resolutions bringing the development of Base 2 Lodge to the ballot this fall. Despite submitting a withdrawal for the proposal last week, Base 2 developer Mark Hunt told the council at last night's meeting that he was confused by the process but wanted to move forward with the lodge. Enough citizens signed a petition against the project's zoning allowances that were approved by the council in June that elected officials needed to repeal their approval for the project or send it to a public vote. Concerns expressed by Councilman Burt Myron that the election results could prompt litigation due to the brief withdrawal were called unmerited by City Attorney Jim True and Councilman Art Daly. The resolution to accept Hunt's reinstatement request and the resolution to add the question to the ballot both passed 4-1 with Myron as the dissenting vote. Allison Bektash, Aspen Public Radio News.
A kayak park near downtown Basalt is one step closer to being created. The Pitkin County Commissioners agreed Wednesday to purchase a strip of land necessary to develop it. The county will plunk down $115,000 plus closing costs to acquire the land. The small parcel is actually underwater in the Roaring Fork, not far from its confluence with the Frying Pan River. Such a park would include a special diversion right that would put water in a stretch of river that sees low flows and dry out years. County Attorney John Ely.
You know, the idea for a kayak park began right after the 2002 drought, and so the primary motivation for it was to protect stream flows.
With a park, fish and riparian habitat would improve because of increased water levels there. The town of Basalt is scheduled to make a decision on whether to approve the kayak park project on September 22nd. If approved, construction could start this fall. Also on Wednesday, the commissioners gave initial support to language for a ballot question that would exempt the county from state limitations for broadband service. If voters passed it, the county could pursue broadband infrastructure, possibly with partnerships. The county has been studying how best to provide high-speed internet to rural areas like Old Snowmass.
Major support for Aspen Public Radio's environmental reporting comes from the John Denver Aspen Glow Fund at the Aspen Community Foundation, promoting responsible stewardship of the lands and wilderness of Aspen and the Roaring Fork Valley.
City Market is looking at building a new store in Carbondale. It would replace an existing aging facility at Highway 133 and Main Street. There was a town hall meeting about the proposal Wednesday night.
A community room at the 3rd Street Center is filled with residents examining drawings. They're asking questions about what a new City Market could look like at a different location, closer to Highway 82.
Just two bike rack areas right now?
And yeah, we do have three, one here. There's some out in front of the retail, and then we do have these bike lockers up here.
Okay. Joe Scheel is one of many representatives explaining what would be included. The list also has charging stations for electric vehicles, as well as public art and solar panels with other measures to meet the town's new green building code. The store itself would be 58,000 square feet. And there would be 10,000 more for other retail ventures, like 4 to 5 smaller businesses that could be a liquor store or a dry cleaner. There would be a City Market gas station, too.
For me personally, I think it's probably a positive development for the town.
Resident Marty Treadway likes the sustainability and renewable energy focus. However, he thinks it will be an uphill battle for the developer.
I think it's going to be a challenge, given our local community and our disdain for large projects.
Treadway is referring to a much larger proposal on the property that Carbondale voters turned down in 2012. He opposed that project. Now he'd like to see a walkable, better grocery store in town limits. The current proposal is in the middle of an undeveloped field across from an AmeriGas propane supplier. City Market has checked out locations just outside Carbondale. Joel Starbuck is the retail chain's assistant director of real estate.
We're not able to provide this community the products that it desires, given the facility we have now. This new facility is going to allow us to serve the community much better. And I know, I have stores up and down the valley, that a lot of people who live in this town do not shop in this town.
Most attendees at Wednesday's gathering say they want a new location, though some raised questions about a proposed drive-through pharmacy. The proposal has lots of steps before it could be built, like approval from town officials and parent company Kroger buying the land. If completed, it would open in 2017.
You're listening to Mountain Edition from Aspen Public Radio News. I'm Marcy Quivenin. If you missed the first part of today's show, you can find a podcast on our website, aspenpublicradio.org.
There have been multiple public hearings in the Mid-Valley this summer about a proposed development. A much-discussed issue is the increasing number of cars and trucks along Highway 82.
Some local residents say they're fed up, especially with the El Jebel Road intersection. There are plans to improve it.
We're standing on El Jebel Road in front of Wendy's near the intersection of State Highway 82.
Eva Wilson is an engineer with Eagle County and says this crossroads has a real problem.
Traffic. We're just growing. And what happens during peak hours is we will have a queue waiting to get on State Highway 82 that backs up past Gillespie Drive.
That's the line of cars and trucks coming down from the Missouri Heights neighborhood. And more importantly, out of the very popular Wendy's restaurant. Those vehicles block other drivers from taking a left turn into the restaurant and its neighboring gas station. That in turn creates another backup that spills out onto Highway 82.
I'm usually sitting at that light for at least 10, 15 minutes.
Justin Gardner does maintenance at a nearby business and usually arrives in the morning rush hour. He's describing waiting on 82 at the intersection, hoping to get onto El Jebel Road.
You're usually backed up halfway to Catherine's store. I mean, 8 o'clock in the morning, it's impossible to turn left.
Once Gardner is finally on El Jebel Road, it's another battle to turn left into the Wendy's parking lot. Engineer Eva Wilson says Eagle County and CDOT have a plan to relieve that gridlock.
We started looking at, you know, modeling the traffic through this area and basically having the access so close to State Highway 82 for Wendy's was a concern.
And really is the heart of the problem. So engineers decided to build an island from the highway up El Jebel Road to the next intersection with Shadow Rock Drive. A roundabout will be put in there so drivers can effectively make a U-turn back to Wendy's.
In addition, the project will add another lane.
This is for people coming out of Wendy's or down from Missouri Heights who are trying to get onto Down Valley Highway 82.
The current estimate for the project is $2 million. We're very excited that we were able to acquire a $1 million grant from CDOT.
Prominent landowner Crawford Properties, LLC, is putting in $100,000. Eagle County is coughing up nearly $1 million. There have been concerns by locals that the intersection and one nearby at Whole Foods are already too busy and that a new development would make the problem worse. But Wilson says if approved, the proposed tree farm project next door would not further overwhelm the El Jebel intersection. That's based on future traffic projections. The project could mean as many as 400 residential units and more than 100,000 square feet in commercial space. The developer says its high density is designed for mass transit and to reduce driving. A private traffic study shows the proposal could tally up to 8% of the overall commuter traffic on Highway 82 in El Jebel. CDOT is planning for an increase in daily traffic on the highway of 44% to 65% in the next 20 years. For two area workers, improving the El Jebel intersection makes sense. Jesse and Heather don't want to use their last names, but say they don't mind continuing down El Jebel Road a little ways to a new roundabout.
I think that would be good, yeah, because sometimes we don't even make it through that light, you know, because we're already backed up all the way. Yeah, so that would make sense then.
The project at the El Jebel Road intersection has been in the works for about 4 years, but the funding did not come through until this summer. Construction could begin next year, pending environmental review. As summer winds down, the Aspen Skiing Company is looking ahead to winter. They're counting on international visitors from typical players like Australia and Brazil, but also new countries.
I spoke with Ski Co-Director of Worldwide Sales, Christy Kavanaugh, who says international visits make up 30% of the company's annual revenue and the community benefits.
They go out and dine, and they shop. And they like to bring things home and send things home. And they do spend more per day than a United States guest. And they do stay about twice as long.
And they come during a time that's important to the Aspen Skiing Company.
We have a significant amount of people who will come post-Christmas, holiday, New Year's, and then depart around X Games or depart prior to Presidents. So they come in that between our big bookends of occupancy. And a lot of the domestic guests, because they travel over Christmas and travel over Presidents, don't travel in that space. So they fill a great hole for us.
Which international markets are receiving the most attention from the skiing company, you know, leading into this next season?
You know, Australia gets a ton of attention because it's our top one. Brazil always gets a lot of our attention. And also the other countries around it now, with Peru and Chile and Argentina growing the way it is, and Mexico. I mean, we really see a lot of potential there. Europe gets a great deal of attention too, because, well, each country in and of its own doesn't necessarily wow anyone in its members collectively as a continent. It does quite well for us, and Scandinavia is growing, and then of course tied to that a bit would be growing some opportunities in the Middle East. We do know that there's a lot of activity from the Middle East. You know, the Abu Dhabis, the Dubais are going off into Switzerland and Austria, and why shouldn't they come over here and why not, again, be wowed and wooed by the Old West?
The currency rate isn't super favorable going into the 2015-2016 ski season. How might that affect the resort here?
Different markets are more vulnerable and more sensitive, if you will, to the currency exchanges. So the fact that the currency is trading at 25% to 30% worse year over year from an Australian standpoint should have an impact. The Brazilian market, while it's struggling even worse from a currency exchange rate, they have historically trended to be less sensitive to it. So you'd see a dip, but not as great of one. It's too early to be alarmed. I think to expect a dip in Australia is one thing, but we can make that up.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Christy Kavanaugh is Managing Director of Worldwide Sales for the Aspen Skiing Company. Last year was the SkiCo's best year ever for international visitation. Starting a small business isn't for the faint of heart, but it can be a key way for residents to make ends meet in the Roaring Fork Valley.
I explored the story of one longtime local who's trying a new restaurant venture this summer in a unique place, a horse trailer.
$7.
Valley resident Amy Fullstone is standing in her horse trailer next to the Wednesday Farmers Market in downtown Carbondale. As Fullstone makes change for a customer, there's no horses in sight. This is her version of a food truck called the Cowgirl Kitchen.
One of those? This is going to be, it's going to be to go.
What's on the menu is prepared in a mini restaurant kitchen in the back of the retrofitted trailer. Fullstone is working with her friend Jennifer Craig. Craig is no stranger to food. She is a longtime local from a farming family in Woody Creek and used to run Ute City Farms. This morning she's helping put together orders and brought some produce.
My contribution here today from my garden is kale and peas and radishes and cucumbers and, oh, here we go. Here's our menu. Rodeo basic, which is pulled pork on kale slaw. Paonia sausage rotini, that's the pasta dish. Chick fun. We have Rosie's amazing provincial chicken served on peanut noodles loaded with fresh local garden veggies.
Fullstone is the brains and brawn behind the Cowgirl Kitchen and used to train and show horses, traveling long distances with them in this trailer. Yes, it's very clean, not a horsehair in sight.
So I recommend you carry them like that so they don't spill.
They're in boats. Sure, you're welcome. You do too. Good to see you.
Fullstone is already tweaking the business. Earlier this summer, she was parked at the Confluence Put-In, where the Crystal River meets the Roaring Fork, but she did not make many sales there.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What can I get for you?
Could I have a rodeo basic?
Sure.
Here, there's been a steady stream of customers at the farmer's market, and Fullstone is pleased. She's crossing her fingers it'll continue in the coming weeks. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio
sure.
News.
Just pork on the slaw? Okay.
This is Mountain Edition on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Elise Thatcher. To stay up to date with news in the Roaring Fork Valley, follow us on social media. Like us on Facebook, find Aspen Pub Radio on Twitter, or follow us on Instagram. Aspen Public Radio, your news, your music, your station.
The situation is dismal in Colorado for mentally ill people who need to be hospitalized. A new analysis from the Colorado Department of Human Services shows the state has a significant shortage of hospital beds for this group.
In Aspen, some end up in the jail and are taken to the nearest hospital in Grand Junction when a bed opens up.
I spoke first with Tony Passarello of MindSprings Health in Aspen. He says the issue of Colorado having far too few hospital beds for the mentally ill is a long-standing problem.
Colorado has a psychiatric bed problem, and the western slope is even worse. Nationally, throughout the country, there are 14 beds per 100,000 people. Colorado in general, I think the last thing I heard was there are 10 beds per 100,000, and the western slope has 6 beds per 100,000. So we have a dearth of beds on this side of the mountain.
He says it's not getting any better.
The lack of psychiatric beds has changed. It's changed from when I started with Mine Springs Health, and some of that has to do with, since I've started, a couple of the hospitals in Colorado have closed. It's not profitable, and I think that's part of it.
Mine Springs works with people who suffer from problems like addiction and depression, but the nonprofit doesn't have hospital beds in Aspen. It does operate a hospital in Grand Junction with 32 beds, and just this year, the Grand Junction branch added 11 beds in a program called Transitions for people with less severe mental illnesses.
Sick people don't belong in jail, they belong in hospitals. Criminals don't belong in hospitals, they belong in jails.
Joe DeSalvo is the sheriff of Pitkin County. His office oversees the local jail, where people with mental illness sometimes end up. Often they're sent there by an M1 order from the court because they pose a danger to themselves or others.
No jail, in my opinion, is equipped to handle this. At any given time, up to 25% of my inmates could be have a mental illness or a drug or alcohol addiction. And if we truly believe what we say, drugs and alcohol and mental illness are medical problems, not criminal justice issues, they should never be in jail. But a good percentage are, and they're not tipping the scales to be M1s, where they're a danger to themselves or others, but they are people who have serious mental illness that have committed crimes, and we're storehousing them in jails instead of hospitals.
And is that because of a lack of beds or a lack of hospitals within the state of Colorado?
That's exactly what it is. There's not a lot of bed space for mental health people. You know, in the early 70s, we were closing mental hospitals all over the country. I think it's time to review this. Do we need more mental health facilities in this country? I think we do in the state of Colorado, for sure. And it seems to be a big enough problem that 64 sheriffs all believe that this is jail is not a place for sick people. It's not a place for mentally ill. It's not a place for people who are detoxing from drugs or alcohol. And these are all people we have in our jails. It almost seems like jail has been the default mechanism for a place where we don't have any other place to put somebody. We put them in jail. And that's got to stop. That's just inhumane.
I mean, when was the last time the jail transported somebody to a hospital outside of the Roaring Fork Valley?
Within the last 2 weeks.
So it's common?
It's common. I'd say we could make a trip once a month. It's common.
And how often do those beds open?
It's hit and miss. You could wait for 2 or 3 days. You might be able to have one right away. It is a hit and miss proposition.
Joe DeSalvo is the sheriff of Pitkin County. The state has formed a task force on mental illness and the criminal justice system to help find solutions.
Denver-based singer Nathaniel Rateliff released his first album with his band, The Night Sweats, last week. Known more for his contemplative folk songs, his new LP is a shout-out to the soul records of the 60s and 70s.
He'll be playing at the Belly Up this weekend as part of the Mountain Summit Mountain Film Festival. As Aspen Public Radio's Patrick Fort reports, Nathaniel's success hasn't kept him from being humble.
For a man known for his quiet, rootsy folk music, what people heard a few weeks ago on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon was something completely different.
Soulful! Soulful! That's the way to do it right there! Standing ovation, baby! Well done.
Soulful, as Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon described Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats performance of their new single, S.O.B.
I can't get clean. I'm gonna drink my life away.
But after more than 2 decades of making music in his home state of Missouri and his new home of Colorado, he's trying to stay humble after both critical and commercial success.
I've been working at this for a long time, so, you know, every album or whatever, there'd be new excitement that generally would be followed by disappointment and discouragement. I was still, you know, hesitant to to get too excited about it. Say it's a game.
I know it's on to say. Critical praise has come from outlets like NPR and Pace Magazine, and even from across the pond. This is Rateliff's first release with the Night Sweats and his first on Stax Records, the same label that introduced the world to Otis Redding. The first song in the self-titled album called I Need Never Get Old fits right into the Stax collection, full of tambourines and ecclesial howls and shouts.
Amazing to be a part of the label, but it's kind of a, you know, I'm no Otis Redding, and I'm not Isaac Hayes, and, you know, wrote and changed music, you know. So we're just trying to do the best we can do and love each other and have a good time.
Sometimes when artists come out with music that is a drastic departure from what fans are used to or if success is reached, they aren't too pleased that their little secret has been shared with the world. Nathaniel says it's something he worries about now that he's blown up over the past few weeks because of his album and TV debut.
I've worked a long time to try to have people hear our music, so the more they can, the better. I think the only thing that worries me is backlash. Sucks to work for such a long time, and then when you have some success, that people are like, well, who's that guy? But not everybody can love you.
While trying to make ends meet as a musician, Rateliff worked at a trucking company, then as a gardener, all until he could make music full-time. He says it adds to his nature as a person.
I feel like as a person, I try to be humble and approachable. I know there's been times in my life where my ego might have flared up, and luckily I have really good friends that have called me out on that kind of stuff.
Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats will be performing in Aspen on Saturday after a screening of the film Austin to Boston. The movie follows Nathaniel and a few other bands across the country as they make their way from, you guessed it, Austin to Boston on a concert tour. He says the film was made during one of the darkest parts of his life, but he ended up getting a lot out of the tour and the experience.
You know, I got to make a bunch of new friends out of it. You know, and those are people that, like, we had shared an experience that was pretty unique in a lot of ways. And, you know, those people will be friends for the rest of our lives.
Friends like Ben Howard, The Staves, and Bear's Den, all big names in the music world. But for the moment, Nathaniel's content with the wave he's riding right now. Patrick Fort, Aspen Public Radio News.
The Arts and Culture Desk at Aspen Public Radio is funded by the Stefan Edlis and Gail Neeson Foundation with a mission to support the arts, community, and outreach.
That's all for this week's Mountain Edition. Have a nice afternoon. I'm Elise Thatcher.
And I'm Marcy Krivenin. To hear this show again or download a Mountain Edition podcast, head to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Mountain Edition is a production of Aspen Public Radio News. The night slipped away. It was so.